I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Welcome to Radio Times. Earlier this year, Pennsylvania Representative Gary Haluska proposed legislation that would make it illegal to record images of an agricultural operation without the consent of the farmer or the operator. This is part of a growing trend in states across the country where legislatures have passed or are considering passing laws that would make it a crime to covertly document conditions on farms that raise livestock. A number of graphic and disturbing undercover videos taken by the Humane Society and Mercy for Animals have raised questions about conditions on farms and the treatment or mistreatment of cows, pigs, and chickens. We have three guests today to discuss these so-called ag gag bills and laws, and we begin with Representative Haluska. He's a Democrat who represents the 73rd Legislative District here in the state of Pennsylvania, and nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you.
Why does Pennsylvania need this law?
I was approached by local farmers that basically see what's happening on the national level and asked me to introduce a bill that would basically say you need permission before you could come onto the farm and, you know, photograph still photography or video photography, just, I guess, so that, you know, people understand that in the farming operation, sometimes, you know, animals, you have to put them down. Sometimes animals do die. People get upset with the way they dispose of some of the carcasses sometimes. So that was basically, you know, the thought behind, you know, the legislation.
And where does the legislation stand today?
It's in the Judiciary Committee, and it hasn't been scheduled for a vote or anything yet. So I haven't approached either chairman to find out, you know, if they plan on moving the bill or not.
I'm curious about whether you have seen some of these videos documenting what appears to be the abuse of animals on one or a couple of Pennsylvania farms. I was looking at the Country View Family Farm taken by one of these organizations, and it's pretty disturbing stuff, I have to say.
Most of the farmers that I know, obviously, those animals are their livelihood, and they basically, you know, do try to, you know, take care of them and obviously get them to market, you know, especially, you know, if they have dairy cattle or anything, you know, those are their livelihood. And I just haven't had an experience in my area where, you know, we've had any kind of abuse.
How would you know that, though?
Obviously, I, you know, work with the Farm Bureau quite a bit in our area. I know a lot of the local farmers. I know the people that, you know, work in these farms. And I've never had anybody come up to me and, you know, say that, you know, there's animal abuse going on in any of our farms around here in Cambria County.
One question I have is, in viewing some of these videos, is, are we seeing an exception? Are we seeing something that only happens at a rare farm? Or is this really the way that farm animals are treated in Pennsylvania? And I think that's sort of the heart of the issue.
I would say it's more of a rare occurrence that you have animal abuse. It may be, you know, one farmer in 1,000, you know, that abuses the animals. You know, I still, even in this legislation, if we were to put anything in the legislation to say, you know, if there's somebody working in one of these farms and they should be protected under the Whistleblower Act if they see that, you know, there's something going on that, you know, is breaking the law, you know, that is animal abuse. Most of these farms basically have veterinarians there. You know, obviously the Department of Agriculture is involved, you know, with all these farms. So there are other eyes looking at these farms other than just, you know, the farmer himself.
But are you saying that, and I know Senator Brubaker has some proposed legislation as well. Let's say there is an employee working at one of these farms and they're concerned about the treatment of some of the livestock there. Under your bill, would they have whistleblower protection?
Well, if they don't, I would be favorable to amend it to give them that. I don't think that's something that we're trying to get away from. I just think what we're trying to do is protect the farmers in our area, you know, so people don't trespass and don't come onto the property without, you know, the property owner's permission. It's just like anything else. You wouldn't want anybody walking through your house, taking photographs of your house and what you're doing in your house. I mean, it's private property. You should have some rights of who comes into your house and who doesn't if you don't want somebody in your house.
But do you think the public has a right to know, especially the public that, you know, eats meat and eats chicken and eats pork?
Well, obviously, you know, they're part of the production agriculture. And, you know, I think, you know, the food inspectors, you know, that we have, the companies that actually take, whether it's produce or whether it's meat, I'm sure the companies that accept these things, whether it's, you know, meat, whether it's vegetables, whether it's grains, you know, they want to make sure that they're getting quality products. So I don't think that, you know, they would put up with people if they, you know, were constantly bringing them, you know, inferior products. So, you know, I would hope that there'd be some protection there also.
What, though, is done about an outlier, and I just have to go back to some of these videos, because you see, in one case, you see piglets, you know, screaming, having surgery done without any kind of anesthesia. And I think, as you know, the public wants to know that the food that they get is at least in some way humanely treated.
Well, obviously, you're talking about the feed that, you know, farmers feed their cattle, their pigs, their livestock, their chickens.
No, I'm talking about people working and tossing piglets through the air and tossing what looks like, you know, half-dead animals into piles of other dead animals.
Yeah, well, I mean, probably in 99% of the operations, you know, that's something that they wouldn't tolerate. And obviously, if they saw people that were working on the farm doing that, you know, that should be something that they should say something about to, you know, whether it's the Department of Agriculture, whether it's a local veterinarian, whether it's, you know, some agency that would deal with that, because there's not humane societies everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't cover everywhere, and a lot of them aren't, you know, really able to cope with a lot of the, you know, the major things, you know. So I would say it would be up to, you know, people that were working in these farms, if they saw something like that happen, to get a hold of the Department of Agriculture.
And they would be protected if they did that?
I would amend my bill to make sure that they were, because I think, you know, that's something that the production agriculture doesn't need any black guys, obviously. So I would think that 99.9% of the people that run these farms, you know, they want to do it the right way. They want to take care of their animals. You know, their animals are their livelihood. And, you know, I wouldn't have a problem putting that whistleblower protection, you know, onto my bill.
Do you think there's a need for more inspectors just to, you know, make sure that these farms are complying with regulations?
Well, as we've seen the cutbacks in federal and state government, we have few too many inspectors now, especially in the meat producing plants and everywhere else, as far as, you know, these outbreaks that we've had. And it all stems back to, you know, a lack of people willing to pay taxes to support the government, you know, to have these people there. You know, it's sort of a national trend these days. There was just an article on Sunday morning yesterday on CBS about the parks, the national parks, and how far behind in maintenance they are, and how many people that have been let go that they haven't rehired. So it just seems to be one of those things where, you know, the federal government, and then following it, the state governments keep cutting back, keep cutting back, keep cutting back. And that's going to harm a lot of people in the long run, because obviously the fewer inspectors that you have, you know, inspecting our food and our restaurants and everything, the more problems that are going to arise. It's only, you know, stands to reason.
What about the protection for journalists who might be doing some undercover operations or undercover investigations to document what's happening on farms in Pennsylvania? How would they be affected by your proposed legislation?
I would imagine, you know, it comes down to a private property issue, I guess, and I would imagine that, you know, if they don't have the proper credentials, you know, to get onto the property, you know, should they be allowed to come on and film undercover on a farm or anywhere else? You know, sometimes, you know, that gets to be a private property issue. And I'm sure there's a lot of people, you know, that don't want people just coming in and taking snippets of this and snippets of that and not really, looking at the whole operation. We're trying to protect the good people, from harassment. We're not necessarily trying to protect the wrongdoers, from, being taken, account for what they're doing if it's wrong.
But if there are wrongdoers, I mean, in many ways, part of the responsibility of the press is to find them and document it and tell the world about it.
Well, there again, obviously, you do have your freedom of speech, you have your freedom of press, but you also have private property rights too. So where does one end and the other one begin? I guess that's pretty much what we're trying to say.
Part of your memorandum here actually goes back to January of this year. You talk about agriculture as an important resource in the state, and I think you're not going to get an argument from me about the importance of agriculture in Pennsylvania. Do you think farms are feeling some degree, or farmers are feeling some degree of threat because of these proposed or these videos?
Some of the family farms that I have, in my area, obviously, think they do a good job. They just don't want to be harassed, by people, coming onto the property and, and filming without their knowledge of them being there. And it keeps coming back to a private property issue that, should people be allowed, to just, come into a situation without you knowing it and, photographing what you're doing at your daily work and everything. It's like big government sort of, watching over you all the time. So there's probably some middle ground, I would think, somewhere. But like I said, if it comes down to it and there's somebody working in a farming situation or a livestock situation that thinks that there's, something going on there, I think they should be protected under the Whistleblower Act because they're seeing something that shouldn't happen, and, they're doing their due diligence and reporting it. So I don't see a problem with that. I just don't like the idea that, it could possibly be opened up to people to be able to just, walk into a farming situation, not understand exactly what's going on at that particular time, letting that footage out, and especially now that you have the internet and, anything can explode out there, and it can really make it tough on, some people that, if they're in a situation where something's happening on their farm and you don't get the full story of what's happening and you just take snippets and sensationalize that, that could really harm a local farmer.
Well, Pennsylvania Representative Gary Haluska, thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. We'll be right back.
Medford Lees, a Quaker-related community for those age 55-plus, proudly supports WHYY. On Saturday, June 1st, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Medford Lees and the Medford Arts Center presents Paint Our Gardens Plein Air Contest. Painters of all ages are invited to share their vision of a recognizable site within Medford Lees' 165-plus acres arboretum, abound with meadows, wetlands, and waterways. Full details and registration information at artsinmedford.org.
Next time in Studio 360...
It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury.
Alan Cumming is playing Macbeth on Broadway.
Come to my woman's breasts and take my milk for gall, you murdering ministers.
And Lady Macbeth. And every other role in the play. Alan Cumming joins me next time in Studio 360 from PRI and WNYC.
Tonight at 9 on WHYY.
Reporting a rape in Pakistan can lead to more punishment for the victim than for the accused.
She's an outcast. She will never get married. She's destined to be killed by someone from her own family because she's impure now.
But one young woman is speaking up anyway, all the way to the high court. We'll talk with the filmmakers of Outlawed in Pakistan. That's next time on Tell Me More.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. In Pennsylvania, bills have been introduced in the House and the Senate that would make it illegal to make covert audio or videotapes or take undercover photographs at farms that raise livestock. We are getting three different opinions on this, this so-called ag-gag laws. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. I just said goodbye to Pennsylvania State Representative Gary Haluska, sponsor of House Bill 683. Joining us now is Emily Meredith, Director of Communications for the Animal Agriculture Alliance. And Emily Meredith, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. What does your organization do?
Well, we we've been in operation since 1987. We try to provide a unified voice to the media, and we also really try to connect consumers to their food supply, primarily the meat, milk, and eggs in this country. And we try to speak on behalf of the animal agriculture industry and really help consumers understand where their food is coming from.
So what is your concern about videotaping livestock farms?
Well, our concern is that these videos are not really about preventing animal abuse. What they are about instead is animal rights groups using this footage to pad their pockets and increase their fundraising efforts instead of about stopping animal abuse that could be occurring on America's farms and ranches.
Interesting you say that. This is from the New York Times of a couple of months ago, and there was some undercover video of some chicken farms and some egg suppliers. And after some of this video went public, McDonald's said it was going to rethink how it gets its eggs and was using this information to make decisions about how it wants to run its business. Is that a misuse of some of this undercover video?
For sure. And I think later on in that article, it actually goes on to say that the egg suppliers shown there were not suppliers directly to McDonald's. But again, I think that that article in large part highlights how these videos are being used, which is they're being used by these activist organizations to achieve their agenda, which is really promoting a vegan world, ending the consumption of meat, milk, and eggs in this country, and again, for their fundraising efforts.
But do you think, and I'm sure you've looked at these videos, as have I, are you saying that these videos misrepresent something, that they're edited to show something that doesn't really happen?
I mean, there have been instances of abuse. I think anyone that denies that is, you know, coming from a disingenuous place. However, those instances are few and far between, and what these groups try to do is make these videos emblematic of the entire industry. And in fact, videos recently they're taking are showing standard industry practices. And what I mean by that is that these practices are those which have been approved by veterinarians, ethicists, behaviorists, people that work with animals every day. But when they're shot on video, these groups are presenting those images with a false narrative, and they're meant to, you know, shock and awe and confuse the consumer and really scare them. So, you know, these videos are highly manipulated. And I think to say otherwise, again, kind of shows their these groups' deceptive nature. I mean, you can't take video for weeks and edit it down to a one-minute clip and say you didn't edit it. I mean, the math just doesn't add up there.
But just because something is edited doesn't mean it misrepresents something.
I mean, yes and no. Like I said, I mean, there have been legitimate instances, but those instances are few and far between. And a lot of these videos are shot in areas where animals would never be. There have been instances where the undercover activist has actually participated in the abuse, and if they are not participating, they oftentimes encourage abuse so they can get something on footage. So there's a lot of stuff that people are not aware of that goes on when these groups are trying to take this video. And the bottom line is that much of the legislation that has been introduced nationwide mandates that you report it. So I'm not quite sure why there's such a problem with this legislation in terms of the activists being upset about it, because we're really just trying to hold them to their own standards. If you're seeing abuse, you should be reporting it, and you should be reporting it immediately.
Representative Haluska was talking about the fact that at least he was thinking moving forward of making sure there was some kind of whistleblower protection in legislation. Would that be something you would support?
I mean, again, I think if you're seeing abuse, you should be reporting. And I know that the Senate bill that's going through in Pennsylvania mandates turning the footage over and turning it over immediately. Because what you don't want to have happen is what is happening, which is that these videos are being held for weeks or months and then released direct to the media. And if that's happening, you're not giving the farm owners an opportunity to take corrective action. You're not giving the state an opportunity to investigate the animal cruelty right after it has allegedly occurred. Every state has animal cruelty statutes. You're not giving the state the opportunity to make those investigations. And what you're doing is you're really only being concerned about your organization instead of being concerned about animal welfare. And so, again, if you're seeing abuse, you should be saying something and you should be putting a stop to it immediately.
I don't know if you were aware of the campaign against the puppy mills in Pennsylvania, which went on for a couple of years. And I think it'd be fair to say that some of the images and photos that documented how puppies and dogs were being treated really helped to galvanize the public and to change some of the laws and to get legislators on board. Do you think there's a role for videotapes?
I don't think that there's a role videotapes being shot by these groups. You know, I think a lot of people are pointing to journalistic efforts. You know, the videos that we're seeing aren't being done by legitimate journalists. They're being paid for by activist groups who are paying someone to go undercover, gaining access to these farms and ranches under a false identity, and then they're taking footage, which is often doctored and manipulated, and then releasing that to the public. And I think that those videos are not showing the true nature of this industry, of the farming and ranching community. They're not showing the true nature of agriculture, and it's those videos that really need to be guarded against. And, you know, I would just urge consumers who do have a legitimate question to come to the source. Go find your local farmer, chat with them about your concerns, seek out organizations that work in the agriculture industry every day, and look to them to answer your questions, and don't trust this manipulated version of the truth.
Are you saying the Humane Society is manipulating these images and these videos?
Yes. I think, you know, there have been a lot of instances where they have released highly doctored and edited video, and they do it, you know, again, to really supplement their fundraising agenda. And they, you know, a lot of activist groups, again, use this tactic to pad their pockets. And this isn't the only underhanded tactic they've used. Unfortunately, they also pressure legislators to introduce bills or to veto bills that would be against their agenda. And they do that using very threatening emails. They send hate mail. A lot of people that I work with every day who are actually out there raising our food get a lot of threats and hate mail. I myself have gotten a significant amount of hate mail and threatening emails and just really deceptive stuff that I think solidifies their true agenda and their true nature.
And who's sending you hate mail?
You know, people that classify themselves as activists, people who classify themselves as vegans or vegetarians, just by the bucketful, to be honest, since I've started to be out there and kind of speak on this issue. And I know that a lot of legislators who have introduced legislation, this farm protection legislation, have gotten similar treatment.
Is there, and we have to say goodbye to you, but is there some kind of middle ground here so that if there is the abuse of animals happening at farms, that can be documented, that can be fixed, people can be held responsible for that behavior, and it protects the farmers that are doing a good job?
I think the middle ground is legislation like this that mandates reporting, you know, that mandates that if you're seeing abuse, that you're turning it over to the farm management or to the state so they can do their own investigation immediately, and you're putting an end to it. And you're giving those farmers who are doing the right thing an opportunity to address the issue if there is one and take corrective action. And that's previously had not, that this legislation is mandating that occur.
Well, Emily Meredith, thank you very much for joining us at AIR Radio Times.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. She's Director of Communications for the Animal Agriculture Agriculture Alliance, and that's a coalition of farmers and ranchers, producer organizations, suppliers, packer processors, scientists, veterinarians, and retailers related to the livestock and poultry trade. The second of three guests in this hour of Radio Times as we take a look, discuss, debate these ag gag bills or proposals that are in states like Pennsylvania and other states across the country. Joining us now, and our third guest is Cody Carlson. He's a writer based in New York, a former investigator for Mercy for Animals and the Humane Society of the United States. Excuse me. He worked undercover on several farms, including Country View Family Farms in Middletown, Pennsylvania, which raises pigs. He's currently a law student at Brooklyn Law. And Cody Carlson, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hi, Mari. Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. One of the critiques from Emily Meredith was that from the Animal Agriculture Alliance is that organizations like yours are using these videos to raise money. Can you respond to that?
I think that's really cynical and just not quite true. We're using these videos to bring these issues out to the public because I think just about anyone can be really concerned about the conditions that these animals are being raised in, not just because they constitute egregious animal abuse, which I think is plain to see, but also because it's unsafe for consumers, it's bad for the environment, it's just not a good way to be raising our food.
How did you get onto Country View Family Farms in Middletown, Pennsylvania?
I got there the same way that anyone else would. I went there. They had an online job application, so I filed a job application using my real name, social security number, date of birth. They interviewed me, and I worked for them for a month and a half. I got a lot of commendations while I was there about what a good worker I was, but the whole time I was there, I was also taking hidden camera footage, which we turned over to the press when we were done.
Why did you turn over to the press and not to state authorities?
Well, typically we do turn this footage over to state authorities as soon as we're done. We didn't in this case because Pennsylvania is one of a majority of states that actually exempts all common or normal farming practices, basically makes any factory farm practice not illegal cruelty just by virtue of the fact that it's common. So everything I saw at this facility was actually a common industry practice. I'm talking about things like confining 3,000 mature sows in cages so small they can barely move an inch for their entire lives, keeping them perpetually pregnant to produce all these pigs. As you said earlier, throwing pigs like their footballs, castrating them and chopping their tails out off without anesthesia. These are all common practices, and so we knew that there's no way that under the current laws anyone would take this seriously as illegal abuse. So we released a media to try to campaign, as we're currently doing, to ban gestation crates, which are these really confining crates, and improve the conditions on these farms.
Country View Family Farm, at their website, they have a vet who talks about the kinds of practices or best practices that they use at this farm. And there, a number of other veterinarians have spoken up for some of these livestock farms. What do you say in response to that?
Well, I'd have to see exactly what they said, but, you know, there's opinions on both sides. There's animal scientists such as Temple Grandin, who's probably the most well-known and well-respected in the country, who's compared these gestation crates to living in an airline seat for your entire life, and she said these cages need to go. All sorts of other industry experts are campaigning for these gestation crates to be abolished because they're just far too cruel. I think from mainstream veterinarians to just common sense, it's easy to look at these practices and just know that they're not okay. I mean, in the farm I was at, Country View Family Farms, you'd see these pigs just going insane from boredom, banging their heads against the cages, maniacally biting at the bars. These are really, really smart animals. Pigs are smarter than dogs. Hmm. And for them to live in these conditions for their entire lives is just, I think anyone can see this and say it's not okay.
I do want to get to our callers, but Cody, do you want everyone to be a vegan?
I want everyone to take animal cruelty seriously. I think some people are going to see what's going on and understand that they don't want to support it financially. Many of these people are going to go vegan. I think other people are just going to source, you know, higher quality, more humanely raised meat. I think progress is progress. And I think the whole point of having these undercover investigations is to get this information to people and give them the opportunity to make that decision for themselves.
Well, let me get some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. We have Val from Colmar, Pennsylvania, joining us. Val, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just think there would be no need for these ag gag bills if everything was open and if there was no fear on the part of the people raising the animals to let everyone know how they were being raised, then we wouldn't need to hide it. I think people don't realize how animals are treated. Poultry and rabbits are exempt from any animal welfare protection whatsoever. Industry can do whatever they want to them. If they call it standard animal practice, then it's legal. And I think people should really know what is happening to these animals that are not in family farms usually. That's not usually where it happens. But in these huge operations, that's how you have to raise these animals. It's by abusing them because there's just so many of them. And thank you for letting me say that.
Sure, Val. Thanks for the call to Radio Times. Cody, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, please. I mean, I think it's just important to know that the House Bill 683, the Pennsylvania bill, as it's currently written, would make it a second or third degree felony simply to take pictures on a factory farm, or not only that, but to actually share these pictures on Facebook or Twitter. That would be a felony crime the way it's written. And I agree with the caller that it's pretty problematic and says a lot about how much this industry has to hide if they're trying to make just taking pictures a crime. As far as Ms. Merritt's comment earlier that these investigations are staged or doctored or whatever, I think it's important to realize that no one has ever provided any evidence whatsoever to back that claim up. And in fact, if that was true at all, I think that the law enforcement agencies that have frequently brought criminal convictions, food recalls, and plant closures based on our footage would really want to know about that. As I said earlier, the sad truth is that what these videos are showing are, by and large, standard conditions that no one is actually really debating whether or not they're happening. This is happening.
But
I think the only reason it's happening is because people don't know so far.
Do you make a distinction, though, between family farms and more industrial farms?
Well, I think when we use the term family farm, we think of a type of farming that's on the decline right now because of these big industrial farms. We think about traditional farmers who put their animals out on land, let them forage in grass and see sunshine, and that's not what these farms are. These are big multi-billion dollar operations that are totally beholden to these huge processing corporations. They don't even own their animals. They're licensed to them. So some of them may actually be owned by families, technically, the way that Walmart is technically owned by a family. But nonetheless, these are big, money-making industrial factory farms.
And we're almost up at a break here. Gary Haluska, the sponsor of House Bill 683 in Pennsylvania, talked about the private property rights of farmers. Do you have any, I guess, sympathy for that?
Sure. I mean, he makes a good point that we need to strike a balancing act, an appropriate balancing act between property rights and consumers' right to know. And I think when he compares it to someone coming into your own house and taking film, he obscures the fact that there's a major difference between someone's own house and a commercial enterprise that's feeding millions of people. I think that people have a right to know how their food's being produced, and that's especially true if their food's being produced in a way that's unsafe, illegal, or even unethical. And that's currently the case. So I think that right now, because there are no laws protecting these animals on a state or federal level during their lives on the farms, Representative Haluska was wrong. There are no Department of Agriculture inspectors that are reviewing the conditions on these farms. Right now, investigators are the first and last line of defense for the public and for these animals. And so right now, I think there's a very compelling need to allow these investigations, at least until we have some meaningful laws to address these problems.
Well, we're going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation with Cody Carlson. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Penn Museum in Philadelphia supports WHYY. Black Bodies and Propaganda, The Art of the War Poster, opens at the Penn Museum Sunday, June 2nd. Dr. Takufu Zuberi, Penn professor and host of PBS's History Detectives television series, has collected a set of historic posters aimed at mobilizing Africans and African Americans in war efforts, even as they faced oppression at home. Details on the new exhibition and opening day program online at penn.museum.
Who dares enter the funhouse of fear? Stephen King. His new novel, Joyland, is set in an amusement park. As a teaser for the book says, beyond the lights, there is only darkness.
Read the line again.
You like it that much? You want to hear it again?
Can I write or what? God. Just kidding.
Stephen King on the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Should parents be liable if their unvaccinated children cause other kids to get sick? Also, the move to rebuild the largest train station in North America, New York's Penn Station. There's one problem. Madison Square Garden is on top of it and would have to go. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Let me just recap here. A growing number of states, have passed or are considering passing laws that would make it illegal to make covert audio or videotapes or to take undercover photographs at farms that raise livestock. In Pennsylvania, bills have been introduced in the House and the Senate. Critics say these so-called ag gag laws make it harder to expose animal cruelty and poor working conditions. Supporters say these images can be doctored to present a false picture of what's happening on these farms, and they can hurt farmers as well. It's our topic for today's Radio Times. We began with Pennsylvania State Representative Gary Haluska, sponsor of House Bill 683. We also talked with Emily Meredith with the Animal Agriculture Alliance, and now Cody Carlson with us for the rest of the hour. He has taken undercover videos for the Humane Society of the United States and Mercy for Animals, and we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Cody, how many other states besides Pennsylvania are considering some of these so-called ag gag laws?
These ag gag laws were introduced in about a dozen states this session. They're passed in two states last year, Iowa and Utah, and in four states before that. But so far, all the laws that have been introduced this year have failed or been withdrawn. I think the only two where they remain right now are in North Carolina and Pennsylvania.
And why those others withdrawn or perhaps shut down?
For the obvious reasons, I suppose, these laws have been decried by the press and by First Amendment groups like the ACLU. They've been decried by human rights groups like Amnesty International. They're opposed by United Farm Workers and other labor organizations. And, of course, they're opposed by every single animal protection group there is. So I think the public just knows bad policy and an unconstitutional law when they see one.
Do you think the public, and this is broadly speaking, wants to know where their animal products come from?
I think at the very least they want the right to know where the food is coming from. But you can look at all the successes we've made in the last couple of years, largely because of these investigations, and I think it becomes clear that this is an issue whose time has come. In the last several years, about a dozen states have passed laws to improve conditions on these factory farms, largely on the heels of undercover investigations. Many more people are eating vegetarian or vegan or buying their animal products from farmers markets and Whole Foods and other places where they can get meat that's raised better. I think this is definitely a mainstream issue.
Let me get some callers in. Looks like we have Becky from New Hope joining us on Radio Times. Becky, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
My main concern is that this law might be used against people to try to document, say, like backyard breeders. I know in a few other states people have been prosecuted because the only way to prove the authorities that something was going on was to take video of, say, like somebody who has like a few horses but was actually starving them. I'm wondering if this law is the whistleblower protection will protect these folks as well. We're just trying to prove the authorities that any abuse is going on, not necessarily an agriculture business.
I'm just curious, Becky, would you favor a law like this that would look at backyard breeders?
What was that?
Would you favor a law that would look at backyard breeders, or are you wanting them to be exempt? I'm curious about where you might stand.
I would favor a law that would still allow people to make video of the backyard breeders who are being abusive. Because, again, sometimes that's the only way, unlike these big businesses, to prove that there is any abuse at all.
Yeah, Cody, have you looked at that at all?
Yeah, well, first, to be clear, these aren't whistleblower protection laws. These are the opposite. These laws would turn whistleblowers or potential whistleblowers into felony criminals. And they certainly would, from my reading of the bill, also make it illegal to take pictures of puppy mills and backyard breeders, which would qualify as agricultural operations. They're monitored by the Department of Agriculture, registered. There's also a lot of people in Pennsylvania who are concerned that we would also make it illegal to document conditions for fracking operations that lease agricultural lands. Basically, as some legal commentators have said, anything that happens on agricultural property now, taking a picture of that is now a felony.
Thanks for the call to Radio Times. Cody, going back to you, State Senator Brubaker has also introduced some legislation. My understanding is that employees would be allowed to take photos, but they had to share it with law enforcement and not post online or post in the press. I'd be curious about where you stand on that.
Well, as I said earlier, because there are literally no laws safeguarding the welfare of these animals, turning this over to law enforcement really wouldn't do that much, and that's why we didn't do it in the case of the big farm that I worked at, Country View Family Farms, even though we usually do in states that do have laws and have mounted many successful criminal prosecutions. I think that these reporting mandates are just sort of a naked public relations spin on these other ag laws, which are so obviously unconstitutional and bad policy. So they're basically trying to put lipstick on a pig and make this into something that they can sell as pro-animal welfare when it does exactly the opposite. You know, there's a reason why that bill and these other reporting mandates are opposed by every single animal protection group, whether or not they actually conduct investigations. Their only purpose is to blow the whistle on the whistleblower and prevent us from sharing this information with the public. Okay. I think that if people like Representative Luska or Representative Brubaker really wanted to do something to protect animals on these farms, they'd be passing laws to encourage transparency and to improve the conditions instead of creating felony criminal sanctions for would-be whistleblowers.
Let me get to, it looks like Ernie from East Windsor, New Jersey. Ernie, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi. Yeah, my concern is not as much for the safety of the animals as for the safety of the consumers. My wife and I never fed our son beef because of the whole mad cow debacle. And I think that the whistleblowers actually provide a great service to the industry by helping to increase confidence eventually. I mean, what is the functional difference between what they're doing and what Upton Sinclair did with the jungle? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks for the call to Radio Times. And Ernie, that was exposing conditions within, slaughterhouses or meat factories. Do you want to respond to that, Cody?
Sure, yeah, thanks, Ernie. I think you make a really good point, and you know, perhaps the most famous undercover investigation in recent years was a Humane Society investigation of a California slaughterhouse called Hallmark Westland, which actually led to criminal convictions against many of the employees and the largest beef recall of all time, because what our investigator found was that these animals, many were too sick to even stand under their own weight, and so they were being dragged to slaughter by forklifts and chains and things like that. And not only is that, you know, perhaps one of the most cruel things you could do to such a large animal, it's also a major food safety risk because downed animals, as they're known, are known to have greater risks of E. coli and salmonella contamination and mad cow disease. So I think there is a major interlink between animal welfare and food safety.
Ernie, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And you can call as well that phone number, 1-888-477-9499. So what was it like for you, Cody, when you were working undercover on this farm in Pennsylvania?
You know, it was tough. Every day you're just surrounded by these animals that are just living in total agony. And, you know, many of my coworkers, they're good people. And, you know, I told them, Ms. Meredith likes to say that we should be reporting this to our supervisors. I constantly went to my supervisors and said, look, I think this is problematic. This is cruel. What do we do about this over here? And every time she told me, yeah, you know, this really bothered me when I first came here, but you'll get used to it in time. This is just how we do business.
That was a quote? That's a quote?
That's not an exact quote, but she did say, I'll quote, it's incredibly cruel that we basically, if these baby pigs are born aren't growing fast enough, we throw them in a gas cart, a mobile cart where we put a dozen or two dozen animals at a time and basically suffocate them with CO2. That was the industry practice for dealing with pigs that weren't growing fast enough. And everyone on the farm agreed this is just not the right way to treat these animals. Most of them agreed that it wasn't right to keep animals in cages so small they couldn't turn around. But, you know, this is a rural area without a lot of jobs. They needed work, and this is where we all ended up.
But do you think your coworkers were afraid to report things that concern them?
I don't know if I would say afraid. I would say it's just pointless. This is the business model for these industries. I think that they know quite well what's happening on these farms. And if you were to call up, you know, senior management of Hatfield Foods, which markets all of our products, and say, hey, look, these animals are confined in cages so small they can't even move. They'd go, yeah, duh, you have eyes, you know. What's to be done about that except to campaign for better conditions?
Let me get, it looks like Doug from Bethlehem to join us on Radio Times. Doug, go ahead, you're on the air.
Well, the an observation that in general on abuse, whether it's in families or doggy mills, unless there's inspectors or some kind of inspection or whistleblowing going on, you have a systemic issue. And right now you just have the industry pushing back and trying to get laws to protect themselves. That's understandable. But if the whistleblowers are, in general, are muted, that there will just continue to be no progress. That's it.
Doug, before you go, I mean, are you making an analogy between child abuse and
Yes, well, abuse in general. I have worked around children who were having problems in schools, and sometimes if you would come, I would come in and perform something like a family drawing,
right.
You could see the abuse just from that. So you could pick it up when a very young, say, kindergarten child. But that is just because they may be experiencing some type of problems. And you may have families that look ideal, could be a, you know, could be a,
sure.
a pastor or even in a Catholic church, that things seem to be very good on the surface. But if you probe around, you do find abuse.
Yeah, I hear you. I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Cody, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when this information started becoming mainstream knowledge, the farming industry could have done what many fast food companies and other food service companies are doing and actually try to proactively address these problems and reassuage consumer confidence by actually addressing the underlying issues. Instead, I think what they're doing is they're doubling down on these cruel practices and trying to keep people from knowing about them in the first place. And that's not a good response, that no business should operate by requiring this kind of secrecy. And I think that says a lot about what's going on right now and how badly it needs to change.
We've been talking about a number of these so-called ag gag laws. Did the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, are they in any way behind some of this legislation and some of this proposed legislation?
My understanding, so what ALEC does is they draft model bills that then can be sort of appropriated by politicians. And they drafted sort of the original model of this bill back in the 90s. It actually proposed creating a terrorist registry for people like myself that would go and take these pictures. And so now different states are picking and choosing parts from this model bill that they like. So certainly the Pennsylvania bill was lifted apparently whole horse from this model bill, and insofar as it makes it a crime to take pictures and to share these pictures over the Internet.
But at some point, someone like you would have been designated a terrorist?
That was the ALEC proposal, was to create a terrorist registry and create all these other sanctions against would-be whistleblowers. The Pennsylvania bill doesn't create a terrorist registry, but it creates felony criminal sanctions. I think it's hard to overstate how draconian that is, to turn someone who is simply taking pictures and trying to get the truth out there into a felony. That's a mark that will stick with you for your entire life, and probably lead to some major jail time. So that's something that we should not enter into lightly, I think.
Let me get to, looks like Melanie from Old City to join us. Melanie, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
I was just calling to see, I guess, to hear your opinion on the abuse of the workers. I know I've heard on your show about migrant workers and especially people coming up from Mexico on citrus farms and tomato farms. And I was just wondering if this had any relevance in Pennsylvania and any relevance to the law.
Oh, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Cody, we've been focusing on the animals. What about the people focusing on the workers at some of these farms?
Sure. Well, Marty, I worked at four different factory farms during the 2 years I was undercover, and I sort of saw the same thing at each farm I went to, which is there was a real sort of division of labor between local the citizens who got sort of the easier jobs and undocumented immigrants who were tasked with doing the really hard and dangerous jobs, such as moving the animals, operating heavy equipment, doing maintenance and mechanic work on these huge machines. And I think that's a major problem. I think that they're using this undocumented labor mainly so that when there's a problem, someone gets hurt or someone gets sick, instead of having to pay workers' comp or unemployment insurance, you know, they just fire them and they're left to fend for themselves. These people have no rights, much like the animals that they're dealing with. So that's another major issue that's going on at these places.
About a minute before we have to say goodbye, are you done your undercover videoing? As you said, you did it on 4 factory farms. Are you done with that part of your career?
Yeah, I couldn't take it anymore after 2 years. I actually just finished law school, and I'm going to be devoting a lot of my efforts from here on in to working on these issues on the legal front and on the litigation front to try and improve conditions here. I also want to make it clear that I'm not being paid to be here. I don't work for any organization right now. I'm speaking out about these issues because I care very sincerely about what's happening. And people like Ms. Meredith and the Animal Agriculture Alliance, I think are getting away with a lot of lies or half-truths about what our motivations are. To me, this is just a social justice issue that needs to be addressed immediately.
Well, Cody Carlson, thank you very much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thanks so much for having me, Marty.
You're welcome. A newly minted lawyer, and he's also taken undercover videos for the Humane Society and Mercy for Animals. Emily Meredith with the Animal Agriculture Alliance was also a guest today on Radio Times, and we began our conversation with Pennsylvania State Representative Gary Haluska, sponsor of House Bill 683. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program. Appreciate those phone calls to Radio Times. Stay with us, though. We'll be right back.